If we can get people to start taking their seats, that would be a good thing. We have only 30 minutes on the next item, and we don't want to waste any time because we've got three ballot proposals to consider. So, yes. In just a moment, we'll have the results of the GPUS elections for us. But in the meantime, could we have a volunteer go into the lunchroom lobby, everything, and just kind of round up whoever might be out there, who might just really want to be in here but not realize it yet? And we're up. We're starting the afternoon session. We're going to go straight to our announcement of the electeds for the GPUS delegation. If we can have someone from the Elections Committee come forward, please, to make that announcement.
So of the candidates for delegate, elected were Greg Jan, Jared Lady, Susan Junko, and Craig Thorson. And then there was no other candidate received the next amount of votes. And for alternates, Jan Arnold and Mike Chemnitz. So I can write the numbers because we actually, you know, the rankings, who got the most votes, and I'll put the rankings here, and you'll have it.
Thank you, June. We're going on to the next item, and that's going to be we're going to continue on with the one we started before lunch. It's the June ballot measures, and I'm going to hand over to Warner Bloomberg, Campaigns and Candidates Working Group.
Okay, so as indicated, Campaigns and Candidates Working Group has the responsibility for administering county polling, and when it's working as planned, there are two county polling coordinators appointed from that working group. I'd like to acknowledge Richard Gomez as my co-coordinator for county polling. Richard volunteered at the last two plenaries ago to do this function, and one of the reasons we want and really need two coordinators for this is so that we can keep each other honest and share the workload, because what we do is actually confirm the reports we get by the county councils when county polling works. And so it's important that it's not just one person is saying, okay, here's the numbers. It's important that we have accountability and verification. Just like the county council member who's supposed to report the results from their county then also is accountable for making sure that their county's decisions are accurate. And that's part of how the system works. I want to take the moment to let you know which counties did report for this cycle. And those were Alameda, El Dorado, Fresno. Okay, let me see if I make sure. Los Angeles, Orange, San Mateo, Sacramento, Santa Clara, Ventura, and Yolo. Yolo especially sent in abstentions to help with quorum, which is a legitimate thing to do, of course. So that there's the 10. If your county was not mentioned on that list, I don't know why, but it's worrisome because we wonder, is your county having organizational troubles? Is your county sort of said, we're not going to participate because we're so alienated with the state party? I don't know what the reason is, but any coordinating committee members present under the process, you're supposed to look into this. Why didn't the counties report? So the county polling coordinators have fulfilled their functions, and because we did not reach quorum, we need to continue now to have the GA make the decisions on these ballot measures. So the so-called open primary measure, which would basically mean none of our candidates would make it to a general election in partisan races, was the next highest in the results of the reporting counties. 95% supported a no, that is, oppose position, that is, vote no on Proposition 14. So that is going to be the proposal, and again, I'd ask the facilitators test for consensus on the no on 14 position for the state party. Thank you.
Okay, this is a test for consensus, or are we pursuing this as a normal proposal? So we do need to ask for clarifying questions and such. Yes, okay, are there clarifying questions regarding the proposal to adopt a no position on the open primary ballot proposition? I'm sorry, a position of opposition to... Let's try this again. Are we... the proposal is to oppose this ballot measure. Are there any clarifying questions? Are there any concerns, affirmations, or friendly amendments?
It's not a concern to our proposal. It's a concern that my Democratic legislature came out on her public forum last week saying that she supports this, which I was my mouth all open. So be aware of what your local people are saying and contact them as appropriate.
And I've got a hand up. Well, I don't think so. We're kind of into the concerns and any further concerns that. Okay, seeing none. I think we've reached consensus to oppose that proposal.
People should be aware that independent voters of California, who are normally a good group, have come out in support of this. So if anybody has connections with that organizations or its members, try to work on them to at least individually or locally come out opposing this measure and explain to them why it really is a bad thing. Yeah. There's an organization called Independent Voters of California, which is an organization for non-affiliated voters who, you know, it's a nonprofit organization, or it may not be, I forget which. But they were involved in redistricting and other issues, and usually their positions are good, but, you know, they jumped on the bandwagon, unfortunately, on this one. Okay, so Proposition 15 in the county polling received 90% responses for a yes, that is to support Proposition 15 position. This is the proposition if adopted by the voters, and it receives more votes than Proposition 14 if 14 is approved, would initiate a pilot project for public financing for candidates running for statewide for Secretary of State in 2014 and 2018, after which it would sunset. It would require a Green Party candidate to get 15,000 signatures and $5 donations to qualify, whereas the two big parties would only have to collect 7,500 signatures. If one or more of our candidates collected 15,000 signatures and $5 donations, the nominee would qualify for approximately $1 million in the general election period. If the candidate only collected half of what the big parties were required to get, that is 3,750 signatures, then our candidate would still get around $300,000 of public money for the general election, which would still be more than I think any of our candidates have ever had. So there are lots of grimy details in it that were described in the county polling reports. So the proposal is that the Green Party of California adopt a position of yes on Proposition 15.
Okay, are there clarifying questions? Clarifying statement? Okay. Anyway. If you have questions, and
The grant would actually be $1 million for the primary, though it's, I guess, less staggered, you know, at a lower amount for Greens, and $1.5 million for the general. So it's actually money for both of those. I just wanted to clarify that. It would also raise lobbyist fees from $12 a year in California to $200. Yeah, when I found that out, I was just made. So lobbyists would actually have to, you know, put more money into it, and that also goes into the coffers. It does seem a bit unfair to require Greens or third parties to get more signatures, but it's about the only way we're going to get anything in the million or half a million avenue in any way right now. And it's not to say that we can't change that. You know, once we actually run candidates, have that much money to actually get elected, then we have room and we have a place of power where we can, you know, change that law later on. Because it's just, you know, it's a beta test to see what happens. And so it's malleable. Thank you.
I've also been working on this campaign in my local area. One of the things that's worth pointing out is the change to the elections code that was changed in 1974 that doesn't allow for public financing of any candidates in this state. This will overturn that and will allow the legislature to implement this public financing statewide without it having to go, you know, to an initiative process. Well, okay. I have another affirmation. I know we're not, but we've only had two, right? Go for it.
Thank you. Michael Rubin, Alameda County. My understanding of this, in addition to what was been said, is that it also tries to reinstate the campaign finance limits on contributions. Is that right? I see. It does. I thought this was a rehash of the Hancock thing.
It is.
But the Hancock bill had, as I understand it, campaign finance limits in terms of how much money you could collect. Thank you.
Okay, are there any other clarifying questions? She's got an affirmation, I think. Concerns and affirmations, go ahead and form a queue.
I was just trying to get up here soon so that there wasn't any lag with people walking up. I've also been working with Proposition 15 local group, and I was utterly shocked about the lobbyist fee, $12.50 a year to be a lobbyist in this state. And I really can't believe, I think they ought to up it to $1,000 at least. But anyway, there's another aspect to this. This is a pilot project that is specifically for the Secretary of State's office. This is probably the most important office for us statewide for third parties to consider, because the Secretary of State runs elections and okays the voting machines, the ones that can or cannot handle IRV, for one thing. The Secretary of State's office is very important to us, and it's important to democracy. We know what happened in Ohio with Kenneth What's-His-Name. We know what happened in Florida earlier with Catherine What's-Her-Name. And it could happen here. I've read the California State Election Code. There's nothing in it. There's one line for all state officials that says that they are expected to carry out the duties of their offices with integrity, period. There's nothing that forbids a Secretary of State in California from being the campaign manager for George Bush or anybody. This is absolutely a conflict of interest that should never be allowed, that any sitting Secretary of State should ever be involved in a campaign for an election that they are supervising. You know, I mean, that's just gross. That's incredible. And yet it's not illegal. And public financing, the way this doesn't even mention this in the proposal, but public financing of this office will help keep outside fingers away from the Secretary of State's position. So I'm very strongly in support of it, and I hope everyone else will too.
Kendra Gonzalez Ventura. And another less well-known aspect of this ballot measure, which has kind of been played down so as to not confuse the electorate, which is easy to do sometimes, is that it also opens this up for local office runs. So local candidates for office can also enter into public financing. So that's amazing as far as getting, getting local politics back out of, corporate hands is amazing. This has been instituted in 7 different states, and Arizona in particular, and, Google this, check it out, are having phenomenal results. I think almost all of their constitutional offices are publicly financed now, I believe, and a large portion of their assembly districts are also. So this can open the door for California. And then once California does something, it may just keep going like Spitfire, which would be cool.
I also strongly support this initiative. I actually have run for office in San Francisco and have been a recipient of partial public financing, about 50% of the total amount that was spent on my campaign for supervisor back in 2002 when they instituted public financing in San Francisco. I view this initiative as one that will enable us to have a very strong issue to go out and organize. We supposedly have about 111,000 Greens in California. We would, in order to qualify for full public financing if this initiative passes, we would need to get the commitments of 15,000 people who, you don't have to give us your $5 now. But I want a commitment from that many Greens that you will give $5 no matter who is our ultimately chosen candidate to run for Secretary of State. I'd love to see that we would have the same amount of funding as the Democratic and the Republican candidate. There is no question in my mind that if we were able to, even though it is an unreasonable threshold for us, twice as many signatures as the main party candidates, that's absurd. But let's use it to our advantage. Let's organize around it and be going out to people and say, look, if we do this, we will get all this funding in 2014. And I guarantee you that if we do qualify for all that funding, that we will reach the 10%, that candidate, whoever that is, will reach the 10% on the ballot in 2014, which would mean in 2018 we'd only have to gather 7,500 signatures, just like the big boys, And this is fabulous. And so in San Francisco, I plan to actually try to get commitments from more than just Greens, but I think it's a very powerful tool to go out and talk to people. Let's use it.
Yeah, I was going to suggest if it does pass that we form some sort of statewide committee to get those $5 donations. Yeah.
Okay. Are there any outstanding concerns? Seeing none, we have consensus.
So the Green Party of California position is now to support Proposition 15. And the last of the five ballot measures to be considered was an ominously numbered Proposition 13, although it happens to be my personal power number. This is this proposal had the lowest responses from county polling, about 73%, and it may or may not have been because there is I've already had a couple of people say to me that they found it confusing even with the report from county polling, and there are reasonable philosophical arguments to be made about this, but essentially this is a proposal, it's a constitutional amendment to amend the old Proposition 13, which has been amended to provide modifications and exemptions previously for seniors, disabled veterans. This would exempt from property reassessment when a substantial improvement is made to real property, commercial or residential, when the improvement is for earthquake safety retrofitting. If this ballot measure fails, then the current situation would continue. That is, because earthquake retrofitting is a major property improvement, the inference for any tax assessor is the value of the property has gone up, and therefore the property should be taxed more. It may be a lot, it may be not so much, depending how big the property is. But that rule applies equally to both residential and commercial buildings. So the social policy considerations behind this essentially are to encourage earthquake retrofitting by saying to the property owners, if you do this at your own expense, your property value will not be increased and you will not have an extra tax for engaging in earthquake safety retrofitting. So there was a 73% yes vote for this item, so that is what the proposal will be, that the Green Party of California take a yes position on this ballot measure.
Are there clarifying questions? You want to come up, please?
John Mark, San Francisco County. I was wondering, do you know how the vote went to put this on the ballot? And the vote that the legislature took to put this on the ballot, who supported or opposed it? I know the sponsor is an extreme conservative who was just recently arrested for drunk driving, actually. And so I don't know. I'm suspicious of it because of the sponsor. I suspect it may, it may contain some hidden benefits for big business. So that's why I didn't know if you'd heard about this.
The comment was suspicion that this has benefits for big business. Well, of course it does. It has benefits for big business property owners because it means properties are taxed more because they're bigger, they're more valuable. What this would do is mean earthquake improvements by large buildings like, say, those in downtown San Francisco who do earthquake improvements would not receive a tax increase for doing those improvements.
I guess I'm in favor of this, even though I don't like the fact that the business tagged themselves on to the original Prop 13 because it was really meant for the people and for the poor and elderly who have a fixed income, a lot of us. The thing that I'd like to know, and this is a clarifying question, I guess, is there any provision to be sure that the improvements that they're making have direct connection to the retrofitting for earthquakes? They're not sliding under, and not getting taxed on something that has nothing to do with it.
Okay. Real property assessments are made by local authorities, most of them county property tax assessors. So for a property owner to make an exemption claim, there'd have to be some paperwork. How vigilant Any inspection process would depend on whatever local protocols are established by the local tax assessing office.
A little extra of concern is the businesses probably have some, because they do a lot with planning and you know they know the government. What I want to be sure is that they're, you know, they don't slide, you know, that box of champagne under the, I've seen it done. And I just want to make sure that they're not getting a pass. But other than that, I think it's great. I think if, you know, somebody's great big building doesn't fall on top of me, I'm happy that they got their retrofitting done.
Okay, thanks. We're at time at the item on the item here. It looks like we have one more person with a clarifying question. We're going to close the stack there. But we are at time, as I say. The next item that's supposed to come up is the CC at-large candidates and election procedure. Can I just ask who the presenter is on that item and whether or not they think they can spare? We can spare some time. So with the consent of the GA, I'm going to ask for another 15 minutes to be added to this item so that it will end at 1:30 instead, and we'll start the next item then. Okay, thank you. And then we have two more people in line here for clarifying questions, and we're going to close the stack there.
As someone who was part of this legislation, one, it passed the legislature with only 14 no votes. It passed on both sides of the House. In the governor's signing message, he said, yes, he was concerned about industry, yes, but he said it was also going to be a business profit thing that could help the state of California in helping its finances. He also said in his signing message, he said that it was going to strengthen buildings and make sure that everybody is safer, and it would lessen the burden for those who own property because, you know, how property values have gone down, and it is would actually help amend Prop 13, which was just a bad bill anyway. And that's clarifying for you guys. And so I'll tell you what later support it.
David Kuehl in Orange County. Well, my question, clarification, is if anyone's actually looked at that a little closer, doing an analysis of actually who are the residents that are going to benefit versus the business. I mean, I own a home. Nobody's come to me about you better, you know, rebuild your house or improve your house because it's earthquake. You know, there's a problem with earthquakes. So my concern, and that, you know, rolls over to the concern part. My clarification is, if there has there been an analysis to say, you know, really, how much is this really going to impact homeowners versus business?
Okay, we're at the point for concerns, affirmations. If there are any, we do have some concerns, if you can form a stack here. And we did buy some more time, but we don't have unlimited time, so if please try to keep your comments to 30 seconds or under if possible, and we'll see what we can come up with here. Okay, and then do we have, how many people are, who's the last person in line there? So we're gonna close the stack there. Okay, that's the end of the stack for clarifying questions.
As much as you guys don't like this measure, I support and I vote on this measure. I know you guys are very concerned about how it's going to be governed and how it's going to be put together, but I believe now that there will be a commission set up through the buildings and trades industry to make sure that retrofitting is done and that it's done right. It's in the bill. It's in the analysis. And it's part of the finance committee who is working on this measure. So I realize your concern, but I like an aye vote. Oh, Randy Hicks, Sacramento, California.
Chris Bellucci, Sacramento County. Now, my concern is, Randy actually spoke to it, but is that this is another Prop 13. it benefits not just residential, but, oh, gee, what a coincidence, it benefits commercial. So earthquake retrofitting sounds nice, and, of course, it has to sound nice. But after spending many years as a news reporter up at the state capitol, I have to say the easiest way to look at measures to see whether they're good or bad, quote-unquote, is to see who's behind them. We know that the author of this is very, 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 very conservative from Bakersfield. And we also know that the people that support it are big business. So if you think this is going to benefit the average guy, great. Prop 13 did more or less too, but it also really benefited large businesses. And I think, this is my ex-reporter gut working, that this is nothing but another way to take tax money away from the public when we need money more than anything else right now.
Well, tell us, good San Francisco. In dealing with the issue of earthquake preparedness, I think we have to look at it outside the tax issues. Because what you're dealing with is the geology and the subsidence and the liquefaction that happens as a result of earthquakes and the tremors associated with them. If you're going to deal with that, it's a separate issue. Okay, it's not tied into the tax code. And I think it's awkward at best to try to verify the intention and the purpose of the structural work done. And if that's what your goal is, then you set that as the goal and not incorporate it into, through standards, which, like San Francisco, in order to build in certain zones, you have to have a geological report. Okay, because there's liquefaction there, whatever. In the event of an earthquake, okay, you can't build in those ends, new buildings. Okay. I'm sorry.
My name is Gary Blenner. I'm from Sacramento County. I think we should focus in for a moment here on local government, because a lot of the revenue from local government comes from property taxes, and my major concern is, as serving as a trustee on a school board, that we're going to be diverting more money for corporate interests and commercial interests than we are for schools, than for police, than for fire, and all the other local services that are currently taking a hit at this time. So that's why I'm opposed to Prop 13.
Richard Gomez, Fresno County. Fresno County, we do not support this measure, this proposition. We believe in retrofitting tax breaks, but in Fresno, earthquakes are not the most important thing that we're worried about. We have plenty of other things to worry about, and we believe the proverbial champagne under the doorway to our tax assessors is going to make a lot of people get this tax break that who shouldn't be getting it.
Dana Silvernail, Humboldt County. I did a remodel of a garage. I got a permit to change it into an art studio. And the garage was very weakly supported. It had an apartment upstairs, and it was not earthquake safe. So for the entire remodel, retrofitting it to make it safe and putting in floors and walls and windows and, the whole thing, and a bathroom, my tax has increased $36 a year. I think that's affordable. For homeowners.
I'm a very strong supporter of having us do a split roll on Prop 13, and we really do need to be doing that. However, this is an issue of public safety. And we've seen with the two large earthquakes that have happened recently how much the public has to come to the aid of all of these people who did just incredible damage. And if this were to happen in here, because some business owner decided, hey, I just really choose not to do this retrofit, that public cost is a lot, a whole lot. And if we need to have our buildings be safe, now as a homeowner, if I were to do it, the amount of tax savings I get, because not having my house reassessed is very small. compared to what a large business. However, if I walk around and have a wall fall on me, and you know, then I'm dead. I think it's very appropriate to give this exception, and we need to work very strongly to have a change in Prop 13 so we do have a split role, and that commercial properties are reevaluated on a regular basis and pay a much different tax rate than homeowners do. So I support this.
We just have a few minutes left on this item. Can we test for consensus quickly? Are there any outstanding concerns on the item? Can I just see show? So we have quite a few. Looks like. Okay, the presenter has requested a vote on the item. Okay. So, and just to clarify, Warner, people may cast a vote either as in favor, against, or a yes, no, or no position, or abstain?
Yeah, because if the proposal is that party ignores the bill, would be 80%. We do not reach that, then our default position would be abstain.
Okay. So is that clear to everybody? Are there any questions about it? It's slightly different than the way the poll is conducted, and I have a point of process in the back. Yes, did that? That made sense to me, but it was very quick. So is everybody clear on that? I'll just recap that. Your choices for voting are yes, no, or abstain. If you're voting yes, you're voting to support the ballot measure. If you're voting no, you're voting that the Green Party is not supporting the ballot measure. Now, well, it's conceivable. Yes, exactly. So the proposal is only do we or do we not support the ballot measure. It's slightly different than the way it was presented in the county polling, so I don't want there to be any confusion about that. If you're voting no on this, all you're saying is we are not going to have a yes position on this.
Correct.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, there's no more time on this agenda item. So is there anyone who still already have a point of process? No. Okay. All right. All right, so first of all, we're going to need someone to count for us. And so Jim, you've got that. And so, all right, I'm just going to call for a showing of cards, and we're going to go by number. Or we can go by number if you want to. Okay, we're going to go by number, and the last indication I had was that we had 30 delegates.
We have 38 now, but it still comes out to 30. Okay, 38, but there was one that got turned in. 38,
okay.
And what number was that? 28 is out of commission. Oh, okay. So we're back to 37. Okay, so.
I'm going to go ahead and just call these down the roll. Delegate number one. Delegate number one. Where is delegate number one? What is your vote?
Yes or no.
Number one, yes. Number two?
Yes.
Number two, yes. Number three?
No.
Delegate number three, no. Delegate number four?
Yes.
Delegate number four, yes. Number five? Five, no. Six? Number six, abstain. Number seven?
No.
Seven, no. Eight? Eight, abstain. Nine? Nine, yes. Ten. Delegate number 10? Is delegate number 10 in the room? Delegate number 10, abstain. Okay. Delegate number 11? Delegate number 11, no. Delegate number 12. 12, no. Delegate number 13. 13, abstain. 14? 14, can we see your card, please? 14 was yes? Excuse me? Yes. 15? 15, no. 16? 16, no. 17? 17, yes. 18? 18, no. 19? 19, yes. 20? 20, yes. 21? 21, no. 22? 22, no. 23? 23, can I see that, please?
Sorry.
Thank you. 23, no. 24? 24, no. 25? 25, no. 26? 26, abstain. 27? 27, no. Delegate card number 28 has been withdrawn. The delegate is no longer here. 29? 29, no. 30? 30, no. 31? 31, no. 32? 32, yes. 33? 33, no. 34? 34, no. 35? 35, no. 36? 36, no. 37? 37, yes. And I think we have a delegate number 38, is that correct? 38. 38, no. Is that, are there any other delegates? Is there, there should not be a delegate 39 out there, to my understanding. So that's it. That's in the hand of our, the man's got a full house of cards there. All right. Okay, so we've concluded the voting. The measure fails and fails considerably.
So we have no party.
Yes, do you want to?
Okay, so our state party has no position on this ballot measure as the result.
Thank you, Warner Bloomberg. We have a point of process in the back.
Well, this is a universal sign for point of process.
Okay, we're going to move on to the next item, but we have someone...
Warner and everybody else. Okay, ask my question to the facilitators. What happens next? We've come out with these positions, and I want to know what use that is. You know, we need to, besides a press release, they ignore us. Does this mean that we will be put on the bill as a supporter, on the list of supporters in the legislature for bills, or is it because it's a proposition, it won't even be, it doesn't even have a list? I mean, how is this going to happen? I want to see more visibility for the Green Party after we take these positions.
Okay. So... All right, we're on to the next item, which is the Coordinating Committee At-Large Candidates and Election Procedure. That would be presented, I believe, by Barry Hermanson.
We're on that item.
All right. At the last plenary, we all voted to... I'd be changing the structure of our coordinating committee, and this was done after a lot of effort on part of a number of folks to actually present a proposal that we could consensus on. We put out a request for individuals who might want to join the state coordinating committee so that, because now we have all these extra spaces, slots for at-large representatives on our coordinating committee. And as of right now, we only received one response. And so I think it's, I don't think we really need to go through necessarily a formal vote on this. I would like to ask that Michael Rubin, who did respond with a brief bio, which some of you may have read his bio online, I just asked him if he'd be willing just to say, just take 2 or 3 minutes, just to, or 1 minute or whatever, to just say why he'd like to be serving, and then we could actually vote whether or not to approve him to join the state coordinating committee. I would really strongly ask all of you to be considering this type of additional service to our party. Our conversations on a monthly basis, it really means participating in a conference call once a month. It's a 7:30 to 9 on the first Monday of every month. And then to also be participating in one other committee on the state party level. It's really important to have input from a wider range of people than we have right now. We particularly need more women and minorities to, you know, participate in this. But the participation that we have already is fantastic. We are getting work done. The conversations that are happening are very civil. There are disagreements, but it is just a remarkable change from what we have experienced in years gone by. If anyone has been considering this, I really hope that you come to talk to me or any of the other members of the steering committee so that you can get a sense as to what kind of a time commitment this might be. And if you're not sure you really do have a lot of time, you know, participate in the calls and do a little bit. We just need greater input from a wider range of folks. And so we are going to still move forward with this restructuring. We're actually proposing that, you know, we didn't get it done by this meeting like we thought we were going to do, have a full complement of people on our coordinating committee, but we're going to make it a renewed effort during the summer to try to be personally contacting individuals, because you know what? Asking people to join a committee on the basis of an email exchange doesn't work. It doesn't. I don't sit around hoping that somebody's going to send me an email and ask me to do something more. It's a personal request that has to happen. Tap somebody on the shoulder and say, "Hey, you know, I really, you know, I think you would be a wonderful addition to and the fact that all of you are here says that you really do have a very significant commitment to the Green Party and to the growth of it. Just to help us operate better. So I would leave it at that, and I would like to just ask Michael to just come up and say a couple of words of what he would like to bring to the coordinating committee, and I hope that we could just take a vote of affirmation to have him join. So that's, at any rate, Michael.
The daggers will
be in your back, not in your front.
Well, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Michael Rubin, and I want to start off by saying I have about 10 copies of the thing that I submitted, so I didn't bring enough for everyone, but if anyone would like to see one, I could just pass them around or whatever. But what I really want to talk about for my minute or two is that what I'd like to see is, I believe this is a propitious moment. I think that we can really, with the restructuring and the changes in the political situation, I believe that we can reorient our state party. And I'd like to talk about a couple of ways that I think our party could stand some reorientation. One, I'd like to see some changes in the way we do our state primaries. I think that we don't spend enough time or together at the state level in assessing the real work of this party, which unfortunately goes on at the, I shouldn't say unfortunately, but actually goes on at the local level. That is, we should spend more time on our county structures, on our candidates, more, I'm hoping that, This candidates forum, I think, is a terrific first step that we're having today. I would like to see more synergy and more collaboration between our candidates as a way of making our party more effective. I would like to see basically our state plenaries become more externally focused in general. We've spent way too much time internally focused, and I'd like to see us spend more time in the real world, which is the issues that affect all of us. The discussion that we had on the state propositions was a good thing. We don't do enough of that. And there are many more issues that we should be discussing, taking positions on, and getting our party's stance out to the public. There's much room for improvement. The idea of having a registration drive, a more outwardly facing party, is to me the prime, the need that we have at the moment, and we need to change the way we do our business, and that's why I'm running. I'm running as a sort of revolutionary to make serious changes in the way our state conducts its business. So, I hope that those of you who vote for me will share my opinions and work or vote for me and support me in our attempt to make the kind of changes that I've articulated. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Michael. We need 10 more people to do just what he did. So, our bylaws do say that we have to have a secret ballot for any vote for the coordinating committee. So I'm gonna, Barry is preparing some slips of paper. It's essentially a yes or no vote. Shall Michael Rubin be elected as an at-large member of the state coordinating committee? Vote yes or no, and we'll have you turn the ballot in with your delegate card, or somebody, can we have someone go around and collect those? Who is going to serve as our elections committee here to pick up those? June's going to do that. So June, do you want to stand outside, or would you rather just go around and collect them? Or this is a two-thirds threshold. When June comes around to collect the, well, first of all, Barry, hold up your delegate card so Barry can give you. Before we go into voting, we do have a clarifying question.
Michael, the questions I'm going to put to you are for, I would put to any candidate from coming from Alameda County, so don't take them personal. From my experience on the coordinating committee, Alameda East Bay regional reps, the East Bay is basically Alameda County. Their conduct has been less than desirable, less than professional on the coordinating committee. I'm curious. It's been so consistent. I think it's kind of an agenda of the Alameda County Council, this kind of conduct. And I just want to hear that you're not coming on to continue the Alameda agenda in that manner, is the first question. Second question is about the reconfiguration of the coordinating committee, and I want to know if you are supporting the configuration that's currently in the proposal, which is this kind of mixed member system, about half regional reps and roughly half at large, or are you supporting the reconfiguration that LA and Alameda are supporting, which is an all at large? So if you could clarify on those two points, I would appreciate it.
On question one, I have no dog in that race. I have no stake in whatever battles have gone on in the past on the coordinating committee. I have no axe to grind. And as to the answer to the second question, I haven't decided. That is, I haven't even thought about it. My inclination is, because we've made this major change, would be to allow it to see if how it works before I would suggest changing it yet again. So, but again, I have that's right off the top of my head. I haven't thought about the question. I didn't even know that there was a consideration of changing it yet again, and I haven't given it serious thought.
Other questions? Are there concerns or affirmations? It's not that kind of proposal. We don't do concerns. Sorry. And any questions for the any other further questions for the game? What do you have a question? What are you doing? Maybe you're just stretching your legs. What are you doing?
Michael, can you help us? Well, I actually just want to get up. The announcement went out to all of us. I want to thank you, Michael, for standing up, and I can affirm Michael having a very even hand with the issues that have confronted us before. But one question I do have for you, Michael. We do have a 3-county cap, so any county can have more at-large reps, or maybe help. Can you help us further solicit others to run on a body that, with you aboard, will now number 10 out of a possible 26? Just to throw your weight into helping us get more good people like you on. You are a good politician, friend.
Okay. All right. So, if there are no further questions, you can bring your ballot outside to June. Oh, June is going to come around. I'd like to say a statement before I leave. Going to tell us where the breakout session? Oh, Jim is writing. No, where the breakout sessions are going to be, and who are the breakout sessions are? Committees and finance, platform, or campaigns and candidates.
Okay, campaigns and candidates can use this room. Platform can use the lunch room, and finance. Go into this very next room right here. Now, hold on just a minute. Okay, and... Okay, and then at the end of the breakout session, we are going to reconvene back in here briefly for a few announcements and stuff, and then we will go down to the coffee shop for our candidates forum. Okay.
All right. I'm going to take a point of personal privilege while people are doing that. You're about to go into these breakout sessions, but for the delegate dinner tonight, people are welcome to be observers, but you need to let Warner know so he can make an appropriate number of reservations. So if you want to join us at the delegate meeting tonight, this is for the delegation from California to the Supreme Party of the United States, and check out some of the ways we relate, let Warner know.
I guess, well,
we can announce the time. After. That's why I'm
disappointed. Okay, so take a few minutes to vote, and then as you exit, make sure that you have your delegate card with you and your ballot to hand to June on your way out there. And we'll be going right into the breakout sessions at 2 o'clock.